Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is brought to you by Patreon listeners like you. If you would like to join their ranks, go to patreon.com/RiTheBard. That's patreon.com/RiTheBard. And follow Sherry on all the various social networks at RiTheBard. That's RiTheBard. And now, from the studios in San Diego, California, here's Sherry.
Hi, thank you for following Chatting with Sherry on Patreon. All of you people who are following me and supporting both Chatting with Sherry and Sherry's Playhouse are so important to me. There'll be some more content coming up next month. It's really exciting, so thank you for being a part of it. We're going to talk with Leslie Scallion. She is the creator and she's the director of a film festival called Dances with Films. She's very talented, and I'm really excited to have her. Hi, Leslie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sherry. Thank you for having me. But I'm not a one-man band on this film festival. It was co-created with my business partner, who we actually created a film together. And to support the film, we created the festival. But Michael Trent has to have huge credit on you know, making this thing continue on and grow the way it has. And, you know, we're now going into our 21st year. So a lot of people over the course of time have really been tremendous supporters, both, you know, just getting down into the nit and gritty of like looking at the films and watching them and sitting behind the booth and telling people about the films. I mean, we've been really blessed to have a lot of tremendous people work with us throughout the years. And some have been with us since year one, believe it or not.
Wow. Well, I guess film festivals would be like films. It's a collaborative effort.
It is. It's a very collaborative effort. And, you know, I equate it to the fact that, like, every year, basically, we are creating a film, you know. And so there's all the production aspects that go to it. There is the selection of the films. There's, you know, as cinema has changed in 20 years, you know, we used to accept submissions on VHS tapes. And now, basically, everybody sends us a link and maybe a DVD or a Blu-ray, you know.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, the world has changed so much. I mean, the digital age has changed film to the point that it's almost unrecognizable from even 10 years ago, don't you think?
Well, I'm not unrecognizable as in terms of, you know, I mean, a good film is still a good film. You got to start with a good script.
Yeah.
You know,
the content, the way it's delivered to people, that kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've had to change so much. Well, when in our very first year, because one of the things that we represent is we represent filmmakers who are unknown with casts that are unknown. We really, people always say, well, what are you looking for? And I said, well, let's put it this way. If Tom Cruise is in your film, it's not qualified to be in my festival. You know, this is really about breakthrough, you know, people who are really working. We don't discriminate against what we call the working actor. I mean, because we've had some really amazing people come through name-wise, but, you know, I mean, they're not your superstar who can walk in and get funding necessarily. Although, that's changing now too, because people are seeing that, you know, those films aren't necessarily doing well either, but I digress. But when we very first started in our first year, we were literally, but prior to Sundance and all of that, we were the first film festival that I know of that actually had a digibeta in the booth with all the extra projection equipment that it took so that people didn't have to make a film print. You know, back when you went to submit to Sundance, you had to be able to provide them with a 35mm or 16mm print. And a lot of people can't get to that point. I mean, it's expensive, you know, back in that day and age.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
from your festival go to Sundance?
Oh yes, we've had several that have gone on to go to like a Sundance, or you know, they'll continue on through the the festival circuit. And from 2 years ago, we actually had a filmmaker who just got a 3-picture deal with, Paramount Ryan Phillip, who had a film called Shockwave. Let me think of his, got to remember, I've had thousands of filmmakers at this point, so sometimes remembering everybody's name. Ryan Gregory Phillips, that's his name. He just got like a 5-picture deal through Sony Pictures.
Wow.
So, you know,
that's amazing.
His film Shortwave, which we world premiered, has just done gangbusters, you know. But it's really about, it's really about the individual and, you know, their ability to continue to really, you know, promote their material. I'm huge on the fact that, you know, people need to start thinking about what their PR is going to be, because you have to be able to break yourself out of the crowd, you know, and I've seen a lot of good films. Well, we see a lot of good studio films too, and they just don't go anywhere. You've got to have the right marketing tools and be thinking of it.
This is going to be a weird question probably, but what made you and Michael start doing a film festival? Where did it come from?
Well, we were both actors. We actually met at, I think they called it the Little Globe Theater in West Hollywood, doing, you know, Shakespeare or Moliere or something. And we were going to put together a play, you know, because everything is about, you know, promotion. You want people to see your work, that you can act and all that. And as we got into it, we were like, well, this is crazy, because you do a play for 3 weeks and it's done and over and you never see it again. Let's instead, and this was the day and age of Brothers McMullen and Rodriguez film, that one that really started everything. You know, Robert Rodriguez did his film and was at Sundance, and you know, so it was like, it was the time of where people were like, let's take charge of your own career. You can't just sit around and wait for somebody to, you know, to pick you up and place you into a show. And so we decided that we would just create this film, and we actually shot it up at my mom's place up in Oregon, and we went with a lot of different things that we knew we had access to. Like, I have a childhood friend who had horses, so we knew we could put horses into the film, and we really built this film around what we had, and it was called Indemnity. Then what we didn't realize was that how political the festival circuit was, and we didn't have, you know, those contacts and didn't know that we had to. So after like trying to get into 5 or 6 of the big festivals like Sundance and Toronto, I mean, you got to remember, this is before Tribeca was around, any of that. What we did was we looked at each other and went, well, we're going to have to do some kind of a screening here in town. And Michael looks at me and he goes, okay, this is super crazy, but we know we're talented and we have a great film. And I bet you there's a bunch of other people who have great films that are just as frustrated as us. And in 8 months, we created, we advertised, we got submissions in, and thanks to Greg Lemley of Lemley Theaters, we had a theater to show it in, and, you know, we really only thought we were going to do it 1 year. But instead,
that
when we got
amazing.
Done, the filmmakers who were in the festival that year, and I think it was all of like 36 or something, they were like, you can't stop. You have absolutely made this something, you know, special for me. And that, you know, you've given me recognition. And we go on to do a second year, Sherry. And I'm telling you, did not want, I was dragging my feet the whole time, because it's like, it's a lot of work. We get into our second year. We had a film called Kusaha Kwan that we picked. And I remember calling the guy. The guy lived in Alaska, and it was an Alaskan film about Alaskan folklore done with Alaskans in it. And so it was this entire Alaskan thing. And so I call him up, and I say, hi, we want to have Kasaha Kwan be in Dancing with Films this year. And you would have thought that I was the, you know, president of Universal Studios calling him up, because he was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I'm like, no, I'm not kidding you. He goes, everybody's rejected my film. And I'm like, okay, so are you telling me you want me to reject it? He's like, no. Anyway, long story short, Kasaha Kwan is now part of the permanent installation at the Smithsonian.
Wow.
That's
amazing.
We really had this totally terrific venue and platform where people who, you know, didn't have Jodie Foster in their film, no offense to Jodie Foster, I mean, love it, thumbs up, but, you know, they needed to have a place where you could be seen. And Michael and I, you know, one thing that we've kept throughout the whole thing, and as everybody has joined in with us, I mean, one of the guys who's been with me or been with the festival the longest is like Robert Millette. He was a filmmaker in the year 2000. And, you know, he's here to this day because we have integrity. We watch every one of our submissions. We watch them all the way through, even though at 21 years, we can pretty much tell right away if it's going to be in the realm of what we want to have. But because we know how much blood, sweat, and tears and money that filmmakers have put into it, we always watch it all the way through. When we do pass on a film, we actually send them a letter that has something personal in it about their piece so that they know we've watched it. Because that was one of our complaints when we were, you know, on the circuit, is you get this generic letter. You know, we had so many submissions, so sorry, you're not right for the festival. And you'd be like, well, did you watch it? Or did you just take my, you know, $50, $100, $400, I think was one of them. You know, it's like, come on. So we go to great lengths because we respect the fact that people are, you know, putting a lot of time and effort into it and money. And, you know, I just, one of those integrity things that we've kept with for all of the time that we've been doing it.
That's interesting because I went through that as a writer. I remember wondering when I was sending out my first book, did they actually read it? Because some of the things that they put in the generic letter didn't sound like they even looked at it, you know? It was like, I can see that. That would be a blessing just to get somebody who actually read it, or in your case, watched it, because it's sort of a slap in the face to do all that work and get this generic letter that sounds like you're talking about another book for me or a film for the person for you guys.
Yeah, well, to me too, it was just that it was just simply generic, you know, and that still has, there's, I won't name festivals, but there was one that one year, it was literally, they emailed everybody out and said, if you want to know whether you made it or not, just go to the website. And then they had like,
oh my God.
So sorry. Yeah.
That's so cold.
Well, it is a lot of work to do it, to be really honest, you know, but we feel very, very strongly that, you know, we need to respect the people who are working towards their dreams. And they're doing it because they love it. And it's a dream, and the, you know, they need to be creative, and, you know, maybe the first one doesn't work. Robert Rodriguez is a great example. You know, he actually made 17 short films before a short film of his called Bedhead got into, I think, South by Southwest or Austin Festival or whatever it was. But he had made 17 prior to that. You know, it's an art. You know, you can't expect to go sit in front of a canvas and, you know, have Picasso or Da Vinci or any of the rest of them. You've got to practice.
Well, that goes for any art. Yeah, that's normal. But it's still hard. It's hard to get it out there. You know, any kind of creative stuff. It's just hard.
It is. But the thing about it, you know, like in writing a book, even if you're working with an editor or anything like that, I mean, the fact is that it's just you sitting in front of your computer or your piece of paper, whereas with film, you know, you're having to bring together, you know, 5, 10, 30, 40 people to make your vision come forward. And it's a lot to get all of that coordinated. And like I said, you know, it's expensive. And so, you know, it's just one of those things where we're thrilled that at this point, the festival has gotten to the point where it's got such a good name and people are coming because they want to, you know, they really want to see different works rather than seeing Spider-Man 17, you know? So we're really excited with the support that we have from the community. You know, we could always use more sponsors, but that's a different story. It's you know, it's really exciting to see, you know, the filmmakers. And we have about, I think, probably a 98% turnout of the filmmakers actually coming and attending. And to me, the great thing about film festivals in general is that you get to meet the creators. You know, you're going to get to sit and hear a Q&A, how they went through their process, or, you know, maybe – and, you know, a different kind of interesting story. One time we had a midnight film. I can't remember the name of it at the moment. But anyway, it came off as kind of a funny film, but it actually stemmed from the guy, the filmmaker's brother, committing suicide. So it was actually a much more serious film than what we saw. So to see that process, you know, and to hear that take of whatever the filmmakers are saying. And we do it with our shorts, we do it with our short docs, we do it with our feature docs. I mean, every single one is attended and has a representative there to talk about the film.
I think that's the most fun, is when you actually hear filmmakers talking about what went into it or behind-the-scenes stories. I've been to a couple film festivals, and that's like one of the things I really enjoy. I'm also a geek. When I watch a DVD of a movie, my favorite thing is the behind the scenes, the Q&As on it, the things that I spend more time looking at the behind the scenes stuff sometimes than the movie.
Oh, I mean, I'm actually a huge DVD, you know, aficionado. So, because I don't like having a link tell me when I can watch something and when I can't. But the extras are huge. In fact, in 2004, when I was extremely pregnant with my daughter, I did a Q&A for a film called Purgatory House by a filmmaker by the name of Cindy Bear, who's gone on to do several other films and extremely talented, great promotion. And one of the things she did was she asked permission to be able to film the Q&A. And I have to laugh every time I go back and I take a look at it. This extremely heavy girl called Leslie. I was so ready to have that baby. Is doing this Q&A with Cindy. And her story, Purgatory House, is she was a big sister to this girl. And so to try to help her start to go through some of these emotions that she had and her story, they ended up making a film about it, you know? And it's just one of those, again, dynamic things where it came from a really selfless place, but it became a great, you know, starting off point for Cindy, and she's only gotten better and better.
That's amazing. You and I met through a wonderful screenwriter, producer named Brooks Wachtel. Did you want to talk a little bit about Brooks?
Oh, Brooks has been a friend for such a terrific amount of time, and again, so supportive through so many things. In fact, he was one of the supporters when Michael and I actually wrote our film. I mean, he gave us notes, he looked through things, he gave a ton of support. And of course now, you know, he's writing novels. And he has one out now called Lady Sherlock, and it is Lady Sherlock, Circle of the Smiling Dead, and it's available, I think, on all of the different, like Amazon and those platforms, but it's a terrific read. It's fun. It's set in like the early 1900s. She's a great, witty, fun female lead. I mean, I'd love to see this get made into a movie, you know? So I highly recommend buying it and reading it. It's a fun read and so entertaining. And he's a terrific person who's just always there for his friends. It's amazing because, you know, in Los Angeles, which is where I live, so often, you know, people of Los Angeles are so brusque and they, you know, they're not caring. Well, I find that to be very different. You know, I find that there's a lot of really terrific people here in this town and who are supportive and, you know, who want to do things. You know, that's, again, going back to the festival. I mean, I have a couple of people who volunteered with me in year one, Mara Berry and Eric Klein, and they don't get paid for it. They, you know, but they're always there. And so that's 21 years of always being there for something that's been a really big challenge in this town, because one of the things that people don't realize, Los Angeles is a big town with a lot of events going on. So getting people to the theater and selecting the films and getting everybody to know that we've even been around has been a task.
I think that's really fascinating. We have a caller, so bear with me. Hello, caller.
I just wanted to tell Leslie the check was in the mail.
And there's our Brooks Wachtel.
Hi, that's Brooks. Hello, Brooks. Welcome to the little show.
Well, it's a wonderful interview. Thank you for the kind words. I don't want to take up any more of Leslie's time, but she's an amazingly talented lady. She gives excellent notes and feedback and coaching. Just a treasure in one's life.
Aw,
so are you, Brooks.
I will beg off and allow the interview to continue uninterrupted.
How much is that check going to be for, by the way?
We'll discuss that later.
And that is Brooks Wachtel, folks.
That's our Brooks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Brooks. I knew it was him. I just thought, like, I was like, you were talking, and I'm just covering it because I'm about to laugh. Because I go, oh, I know who that is.
I wish the check was in the mail, though, but, you know, that's a different story.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's just such a sweetie. I had to let him in.
Well, you know, I bought his book and had him. I went to the signing at Book Suit down in West Hollywood and had him sign it, and I gave it to both of my sisters. So,
that's so great.
A big fan.
Oh, and anybody interested, Brooks is taking part in my book fair on Christmas Day. It's an online book fair. And I believe, I'm not sure, you can call back, Brooks, if I'm wrong. I think he's going to give away one copy, so like an e-book. So if you want to buy Brooks' book, you might want to try out the book fair.
That's just letting you know. Brooks books.
Yeah, I know. I had to be really slow with that, make sure I got it right. But it's not,
no,
you know, Barnes and Noble, Amazon, all that.
Well, you know, also, you know, he's not only just an animation writer, but a wonderful documentarian. And,
mm-hmm.
of course, you know, he had Dog Fights, which was on the History Channel, which was, I think, one of the biggest premieres that they had at that time. But also, he's had a couple of docs, which I've had in the festival, but he still had to earn his way in. Other people have to watch it. Just because you're my friend, you don't get into the festival. I mean, trust me, I've turned away a lot of them. But he had a documentary called Hollywood High, which was fascinating, and it was about, of course, his alma mater. And randomly, some school in Santa Monica or something, they brought an entire field trip to the theater to see his documentary. He didn't know them from anything. Yeah, it was wonderful. So, I mean, like I said, we show so many amazing films. I mean, but we have the docs and we have music videos. We do, of course, we're dances with films. So often we get dance films and we show dance films and, you know, Bollywood, narrative features, documentaries. We just in the last couple of years, actually it's going into its fifth year now, we actually have a program we call Dances with Kids, which is films for kids, but it's primarily films done by kids.
Cool.
And it is a wonderful, I mean, because again, because the instruments that we use anymore are so available that kids are doing just some great, great work. And so we have that as a platform. And then we also have it included, as of 2 years ago, TV pilots and webisodes. You know, so we really have the gamut of all sorts of different choices depending on what your taste is.
Do you do web series and stuff like that too?
Yep, web series and TV pilots. TV pilots are really becoming a big category anymore because, you know, television is so refined and become such an interesting place, you know, that more and more people are doing those, whereas like when Michael and I started this, you know, you were doing a feature. That's how you were showing off your skill. But now people are actually creating their own pilots.
That's fascinating. I think one mm-hmm. of the reasons is because there's such a wide variety of places that you can show these things, like Hulu and Amazon and all the other smaller options that are online, that it's just so many places to do it, that it, to get a good little boost from your film festival probably is like gold to them.
Well, I like to think of it that way. but there is a, you know, there is a tremendous amount of need for content, but that doesn't mean that the content is always good, which is,
no.
You know, why I think having, I mean, what we really are is a curator, you know, because we're looking through, you know, 2,000 submissions and narrowing it down to maybe 200, you know, so when you're coming into our festival, it may not be your taste, but it should be of somebody's taste and it should be of a certain quality, you know. And again, like I said, you know, the story is always the first thing.
When you make your selections, is it is it just based on your reaction, or is it like vote between the people that are on the panel, or is there like a judgment discussion? How does it work?
It's, you know, we made it in a way so it was kind of simplistic for us. Basically, everybody can, well, type or write or whatever, and basically, is it a must-see? Is it a second look, or is it a pass? So a must-see, obviously, is something that you're going to tell your friends they really should go see this. Or a second look is like, oh, it was okay. It had some problems, but, you know, it was okay. And a pass is obviously a pass. And then what we do, for short films, we all get together actually here at my house, and we all sit around and watch films together. You know, we make it a big kind of almost family thing. We make a big family dinner, and then we gather up to the TVs, and I will, by the end of our final deadline, I'll probably have four different televisions going with people watching films. Because, again, you know, a lot of people like to submit at the last, and, you know, and like I said, we look at all of the films all of the way through. Features are done, you know, individually, people's homes, you know, via links or DVDs. But for the shorts and the short docs and the music videos, web series, all of that, we'll end up doing them here. But we have to have at least three people watch every film, and then people will write their comments, including a positive comment about the film in case it does get passed on. So I'll tell you, Sherry, this is the funniest thing. So now I'll sit down right? There's going to be some films that everybody loved them, everybody didn't like them, whichever it may be. But what cracks me up about how people's tastes are so different is three people or five or however many people we have in the room that day will look at a film, and this one will have a must-see, this one will have a second look, and this one will pass. And I'm like, seriously, guys, do you think this helps? Give me a break.
It is funny how people look at a movie completely differently. There's some movies that my family loves that even the people who were in it didn't like. But we liked that there's something in it that was either funny or sweet or touched us or whatever. Even the Secret War of Harry Frigg. I love that movie. My parents love that movie. My brother loved that movie. But Paul Newman hated that movie.
Oh, that's funny.
Because we were driving and there was a radio show, and I'm trying to remember one of the other actors who was in the movie. My dad called in and said, "We love this movie," and he goes, "Well, it's okay, but I got to tell you, Paul hated it." And I can't remember I think it was Tom Bosley, but I'm not sure. But Dad called it, had to call in and said, "We love this movie."
Oh, that's funny.
But it's all taste, right?
Well, it is. And also, you know, for us, part of it is, you know, I'm also looking to have a variety of things. We're not the gay and lesbian transgender festival. We're not the drama festival. We're not the Thrill Rush Festival. So I'm always looking to have a variety of different films, you know, that can really, you know, appeal to a lot of different people. And sometimes the way I try to explain actually programming to people is that it's kind of like being Ralph's. Ralph's doesn't grow the tomatoes. They only can pick from the ones that have been grown and try to pick what they consider the best. And then they also have to have other fruits and other vegetables. And, you know, so that's kind of what it is like for us, the fact that we're really trying to program a diverse amount of films and not have it all be just one-sided, if you know what I mean. So,
yeah,
I mean, there are many niche festivals that do that. You know, there's the Hollywood Black Film Festival, the Pan Asian Festival, and that's great. I mean, kudos to them, but it's not what we do.
I think it's good to have a festival that has a little bit of everything, because sometimes people wouldn't even know that film that they had never had any interest in, and it didn't seem to be to their taste. They would be at a film festival and they see it and they go, "Oh, well, no, I'm wrong. This is to my taste." Because it's like anything else. If you have variety and you have never looked at something because you have a block toward it, and you actually give it a chance, you may find you like it.
Exactly. Exactly. And we also, I mean, like, you know, again, we try not to look at anything and go, "Oh, you know, these people, I'm looking to figure out," how can I put it best? I'm looking to figure out the filmmakers who are passionate and the filmmakers who have amazing films. And you know, a lot of things actually go into us trying to figure out what we are going to program at, you know, at the end of the day. But like our winning film this year, our feature winning film was called One Less God. It was out of Australia. They filmed it in India, and it was about terrorists that took over the hotel in Mumbai. So it was based on a true story. It was absolutely amazing. You know, and they've gone on, you know, with their film to go on to other festivals. We had another one called Holdin' On, which was our audience award winner, and it's gone on to something like, I don't know, 18 other festivals, and it keeps winning and winning. And the same thing which happened with our documentary feature audience award winner, which is called Resistance is Life. I mean, it just shocks me. And these are all films that basically, you know, we got them. If they had even been in another festival, it was only maybe one. So,
wow.
Found them very early on. And, you know, we love bringing to light these stories.
Leslie, we're almost out of time. Is there a new festival that's coming up? Do you and do you want to give people the information on how they can go?
A new festival?
Yeah. Is a festival coming up?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. A new festival? Wait, it's 21 years old. We're in our submission time right now. So we actually have our early deadline coming up on 11/29 of this month. And then we'll be accepting submissions clear through the end of March, basically. And you can find out all sorts of information at danceswithfilms.com. You're always welcome to send us an email if you have any questions. We try to be very hands-on in trying to make sure everybody's very informed and that they can, you know, get the most out of the experience that they possibly can. But, yeah, we'll be accepting submissions through that, and then the festival is actually going to be held the second week of June.
Okay.
June of next year, believe it or not. It's a year-round experience to make this happen. But, yeah, it'll be June 7th through the 17th of next year.
So you get the submissions, when's the deadline?
We have different deadlines because we do charge a submission fee. So if you get it in by November 29th, that is the least expensive fee you're going to get. And you can go right up to the late deadline, which is going to be the most expensive fee, because obviously we're trying to encourage you to get it in earlier, but that's going to be March 28th.
Okay. All right.
Next year. But yeah.
Next year.
And we are again at the Chinese Theater this coming up year. So it's really exciting to be at the Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. It's a dream come true for not just us, but for many of the filmmakers. I mean, you know, having your film show at an iconic theater, it's just really amazing.
I still call it Grauman's. I'm from LA, so I was brought up there. To me, it will always be Grauman's.
I know. I can't believe that TCL bought the rights. I was there actually, when they reopened it as an IMAX, and I was there for the Wizard of Oz opening. And whoever was the host, I can't remember, he got in trouble because he called it Grauman's. He got called off of the thing where he was interviewing one of the last living munchkins, and he comes back out and goes, well, it's now the TCL Chinese Theater, I've been informed, or else I'm not going to be able to continue on with my interview.
Ooh. It wasn't Robert Osborne, was it?
No, it wasn't. I can't remember who it was, but it was funny because, you know, but I'm with you, and it is Grauman's to me as well. But it is a beautiful theater that we're in,
it
the
is.
Cineplex, which is in the Hollywood and Highland, and it's just wonderful to have the support. We were with Lemley's for years. They were very supportive of us, and the Chinese Theater has been very supportive of us. So we're thrilled to be able to come back there again and again.
Before we go, Leslie, could you give your website one more time?
Sure, danceswithfilms.com. And the other thing is go on Facebook and find us there, because we actually go every Sunday that we watch films, we actually talk about the films during our break on Facebook Live. So you'll find tons and tons of great information that we've talked about over the last year.
Cool. We're at the end. I want to thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. And one other thing is I just to everybody out there who listens, if you dream it, do it. You know, it doesn't hurt you to try. Get out there and do it and live your dream, because it's very important. Otherwise, we can get so sucked into, you know, the daydreams of life, you know. Believe in your dreams.
Absolutely. I try to do that all the time. It's really something you have to focus on, and it's not easy, but you should do it. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Thank you again for having me on, Sherry. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Chatting with Sherry is brought to you by listeners like you. You can support this program by leaving a rating or a review at iTunes, at Sherry's Patreon account, patreon.com/readthebard, or by following Sherry on all the various social media at readthebard. That's RITHEBARD. Once again, that's readthebard. RITHEBARD. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.